SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline, with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Oh, the best of every day now officially underway. Welcome in. It is Moneyline. It's your boy Donnie Wrightside here on a solo mission on a hump day Wednesday, a massive Major League Baseball card that we're going to handicap from top to bottom coming up. You know I got you covered on that. Yesterday, split team totals, underwhelming on RBI props. Some things just aren't adding up for me over the past couple days, but also the numbers get better and better each day. Now that we're in the midway points of May, we're going to introduce in our XFIP minus numbers, which then takes the underlying value of a pitcher and measures them up where they're actually pitching and which ballpark, and sets them to an league, American League and National League average of 100. That'll be fun to start to talk about that and say why we're making some of these changes and what we can do about that. But as you know, I love to talk about the hot topics. We are going to talk some NBA today, no doubt about it. Not about the NBA draft, which Sixers got third. Number one overall goes to Dallas. Dallas then says they're not going to trade that number one overall pick for Cooper Flagg, as they shouldn't. But then again, they did trade Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll see if they can make amends for that and have a better season next year and the like. We'll take a look at the two games that we have tonight on the doubleheader. Take a look at the games which took place last night with one team getting closed out in the Cleveland Cavaliers. And away we go as I hit the retweet button. If you're watching here on Restream on our YouTube channel, Sports Grid On Demand, thanks for chiming in. Darren Filippi is already out there having fun rolling through. Also, the app. If you don't have the Sports Grid app, what are you doing? Get the Sports Grid app wherever all apps are available so you can watch, listen, and learn and become a more informed handicapper. And also, make sure you get a lot of that entertainment in that we certainly love to provide here at the Sports Grid Network, sportsgridradio.com, and as well as what you're listening on mainly, possibly on the Sirius app, Sirius XM channel 159, and away we go. Double headers in Major League Baseball. We'll get to those. A game that's actually going to be starting 5 minutes after Moneyline ends today as the start of one of those double headers, and there's a double header in Philadelphia, which, man, it is still raining hard here, at least in southern New Jersey. If we see if they can actually figure out how to play a doubleheader today in the city of brotherly love. But other baseball news did drop overnight, or yesterday, I should say, after we were off the air. And that's Pete Rose, with now his eligibility back in place here for the Hall of Fame. And it's a long and windy tale for the Hit King, one of the single best players in the history of the sport. One of the single best winners in the history of the sport. So many years, so many different teams, but prominently, you probably would remember Pete Rose from the Philadelphia Phillies, finally bringing a World Series championship home in 1980 for them, along with Mike Schmidt and a host of others. He was sort of that missing link here, but certainly that big red machine in Cincinnati, which he was certainly a big part of that as well. But the past is troubling. We're not going to take a look at some indiscretions that have popped up over the years with Pete off of the field. We're strictly going to keep this to an MLB conversation and what he did within the confines of MLB. Nobody was a better hitter than Pete Rose in the history of Major League Baseball. Should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. 100% of the votes going in his direction. But the reason he wasn't, he was banned from baseball. Why? Because he bet on baseball. The one card, you can do a lot of things in Major League Baseball, particularly back in the day. You can get in trouble with the law. You can not be a nice guy. You can do things that were not in your best indiscretions, but you cannot bet on Major League Baseball. And Pete Rose absolutely did that. And for the people out there that say, well, now, Donnie, it's legal to bet on baseball. You still can't do it in your sport. You still can't play a sport or manage a sport or be in the front office and have inside information and affect the outcomes of the game. And some people out there might think and say, hey, man, Pete only said he bet on his team. What's wrong with that? You always bet your team to win. Pete didn't only do that. Who are we kidding here? Guy was betting for and against his team left and right. And so, well, he only says it was for. Understand this. Why is Pete Rose betting on his team or against his team?
because number one, he's probably a gambling degenerate. We'll accept that. But number two, if you are down, like let's just say you're a football bettor, an NBA bettor, which he probably was as well, what's the best way you can make your money back? Having inside information by being a manager in Major League Baseball. Case in point, let's just say today you see a line of minus 180 as a favorite. Let's just say the Reds were a minus 180 favorite when Pete was managing the ball club. You know how to turn that into a profit for yourself? Say, you know what? Or let's just say whatever. Let's use the line per se. And you go, all right, here's what's going to happen today. I'm going to bet the other team at a plus 160 price. All right, call it in your bookie. Send it, signed, sealed, and delivered. And then later in the afternoon, go, okay, I'm going to scratch my top two hitters in the lineup. And two of my best bullpen guys are not going to be available in this game. Just won't release that information until closer to game time. And then also, I'm going to pull my starting pitcher early by, say, the fourth inning, even if he's not struggling at that point, in hopes that you would lose that baseball game and cash in your ticket as a plus 160, plus 170 underdog. That's how it gets done here. Have you ever heard of a mob boss or a mob figure trying to fix a game and go, all right, I'm going to get to this college kid tonight. Hey, kid, you guys are favored by 7.5 points. You better win that game by more than 7.5 points. No, no. It's you guys are favored by 7.5 points. Miss every free throw and turn the basketball over at every turn you get so you don't cover. You can automatically miss shots. You can't automatically make shots. You can dribble the basketball up the court and protect the basketball, absolutely, but you can also dribble the basketball court up and dribble it off your foot multiple times or make terrible passes that lead to 6 or 7 points in each half that could sway whether or not you cover that spread. You can go to the free throw line, up 7 points, needing to cover 7.5, and miss the front end of a 1-1 on purpose and make it look good doing it. You can't guarantee you make that free throw. You might try it, but there's no 100% mark. There's a 100% chance when you're trying to miss a free throw, you're going to miss that free throw shot. No doubt in my mind. So Pete Rose, certainly a lightning rod right now. Will he get in? I don't know. But also, the fact that people have brought up like, oh man, did Pete dirty? He didn't allow this news to get in before he passed away in September of 2024. Yeah, no kidding. Because Pete Rose was a thorn in the side of Major League Baseball for decades here, just never admitting being wrong. And the reason I bring this up, too, is understand this with Pete Rose. And I always say this, us human beings as a society, we are forgiving people for the most part. Admit what you did wrong. And we can get past it, and we can move forward. Pete never did that. And every time you thought he was going to do it, he always backtracked and made it convoluted, and well, I didn't do anything wrong, and this and that. All he had to do when he was back in the day, was it the Star Report? I don't even know what report it was, whatever it was from Major League Baseball, they called it. When they had him dead to rights, just to come out and admit, I was the degenerate. I was in a bad spot, down on my luck, I needed money. I never thought I was doing anything wrong at the time, but now I realize I was damaging the sport's credibility, the sport that I loved, has made me a hero to millions of people out there. I come here on bended knee, swallow the sword. I am so sorry this happened. Can you forgive me, Major League Baseball and the public? You know what they would have done? At the time, probably said, no, we can't, but we can always revisit this later. And I guarantee you, if Pete Rose was remorseful within a decade of him being banned from Major League Baseball, he would have been reinstated to Major League Baseball. But every time he got a chance to drive that needle back at Major League Baseball, he did it. Cooperstown inductions, how many times he had book signings and at the card shop up the street while the ceremony was going on and acting like nothing was wrong, that Major League Baseball was doing him dirty, they decided to do him dirty at the end and not make him eligible for the Hall of Fame. Until he passed away. That's the story of Pete Rose, people. It's just what it is. We'll get to some scheduling news for the NBA next. We'll talk NFL and NBA action, and then a full Major League Baseball part here on a Wednesday. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
back at it. We're talking a little NFL action right now. Not on the field yet, but the schedule release in full is due out today. But we are getting those leaks and some interesting game matchups here. Just pulled out one of the leak sites here. NFL Week 10, Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers will take place 2025 Christmas Day. Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs. The NFL Black Friday game this year is the Chicago Bears at the Philadelphia Eagles on a Friday at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Love that. Thanksgiving game, one of them has been announced. Actually, two of them have been announced, to be honest, so this is a little bit late. This one is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys, which is a very compelling matchup, which is nice to see on Thanksgiving Day, putting a good team up against the Dallas Cowboys. And I believe to start that day, it is the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions. And then the international card has been released yet. The only one that we don't know is week one, September 5th from Brazil. The Chargers will be playing in that game. But what we think to be is the Kansas City Chiefs to be that Friday, as well as the Philadelphia Eagles opening up the season against the Dallas Cowboys. Also, Fox's doubleheader Saturday coming up in the month of December, which is Saturday, December 20th. The Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Commanders and the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears. So each and every 30 minutes, it feels like we're getting a new leak on some games and some information to have fun with here at this point. And certainly, it's right around the corner, man. You can feel it. We're midway through the month of May. All we need to do is get through the rest of May. We got to get through June. And July is football month. Teams go to camp, preseason games, and away we go into the season there. Chat box in there. As I said, Darren's in there. Time to make some dough. Absolutely. Sean B says, what's up, DRS? How's it going? And Mr. Jay Fogarty, Bryce Harper, 11 of 22 with six bombs off Eric Fetty. Yeah, we're focused on Fetty. There's no doubt about that. But before we get to Major League Baseball, too, let's get the people caught up here on the NBA and what took place last night. Exciting times in the NBA. I love the NBA postseason. I just hate the regular season. The Pacers, a 114-105 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, which saw Tyrese Halliburton, the most overrated player in the NBA, according to its players, in a closeout game on the road, score 31 points, have 6 rebounds, and 8 assists. He was great. Donovan Mitchell, who couldn't hit water from a boat with his shots yesterday, hit a couple threes down the stretch, wasn't enough. He scored 35 points, had 9 rebounds and 4 steals, while he was hobbled around, and they got beat. The Pacers knock off the top seeded Cleveland Cavaliers and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals for the second year. The question is going to be who they play, and we'll get to that in just a few moments. The Thunder and the Nuggets, entertaining game last night, which saw the Nuggets win the first quarter, the Nuggets win the second quarter, and the Nuggets win the third quarter, but lost the fourth quarter by 15 points in route to a loss of 112-105 to the Thunder, who now the Thunder take an advantage series lead of 3-2 over the Nuggets, with game 6 coming back up in Denver. But that's one the Nuggets are going to wish they had. They just folded up late, and it wasn't because of Nikola Jokic. 44 points, 15 rebounds, wasn't good enough. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 31 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. Now today, we do have a doubleheader in the association, and two games, which two teams are looking to close out. The New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics in game number 1, and the Golden State Warriors and the Minnesota Timberwolves in game number 2. If you look at that Knicks-Celtics game tonight, 7 o'clock from the Garden, that line opened up in New Jersey at FanDuel at minus 5. It now sits at 4.5 across the board, with a heavy ticket count skewed towards the New York Knicks, and rightfully so. Total in that game opened up at 208.5, most outlets showing 207.5. Game number 2 tonight, 9:30 start, the Golden State Warriors and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves looking to close out the Golden State Warriors tonight. That line opened up at 10, and some outlets as high as 11s and 10.5s now that are sitting across the board. The total, which opened up at 203, now sits at 202 to 202.5, depending on where you're shopping out here at this point. Vic Ferrari out here with his Pacers, enjoying life, understandably so, because they're moving on, but who do they play tonight? And by the way, how are you betting these games tonight, guys? Let me ask you that question to start. 7 o'clock tonight, because last night I told you, I thought the Pacers would be able to win that game. 7.5 points, and also talking to Kevin yesterday on the show, we knew that once Donovan Mitchell was expected to play and officially be in the starting lineup, that line would increase. Went from 7.5 up to 8.5. Still lost, still got beat up. Easy cover yesterday for the Indiana Pacers. Didn't really have a great feel on the night game. A lot of points was coming towards the Denver Nuggets.
Maybe it was going to be a blowout, maybe not. Ends up, as we just told you, that the Thunder won that basketball game but did not cover the spread. Tonight, though, I look at that Knicks-Celtics game and say to myself, yes, it's a heavy public count. Same thing it was on the Pacers yesterday. The Boston Celtics are a quality team. It's hard to win playoff games on the road against anybody. We understand that. But this would be a little bit different for me if I looked at that spread and said, yeah, okay, the New York Knicks are looking to close out the Boston Celtics today. But why is that important? Because, Celtics are getting 4.5 points on their home court. They're not. It's the complete opposite, guys. The Boston Celtics are laying the 4.5 points against the New York Knicks without their best player in Jason Tatum, who they did have Jason Tatum for the first four games. Didn't get injured till what, 3 minutes ago in the fourth quarter when they were already down just about double digits at this point. Now you're taking away Tatum, who dropped 40 in the Garden, and they couldn't win that game. Right now he's not going to be around, but yet they're still favored at home. I get it. They have a championship pedigree, which is what we'll talk about with the Warriors in just a second here. But the simple fact for me is, I'm not saying the wrong team is favored, but I'm saying the wrong team is favored. There is no way in hell. Now, look, I have a trained eye in handicapping. That line to me is screaming. Boston Celtics at -4.5. It's screaming. Donnie, take it. It's free money. It's crazy how this number would be here. But I still have to believe in that bet. This isn't Jason Tatum hobbled with an ankle injury where, guys, win one for me. I promise you'll be back in game number 6 and we'll win this series. Tatum is never coming back. The Celtics understand they are not winning a championship this year. Can they muster up enough juice in game number 5 to say, you know what? Let's ride the adrenaline without Jason Tatum in the lineup? Could be. But I'm not betting on that. The Boston Celtics had 2 big leads in games 1 and 2 in the Garden. They lost both of those games. The Knicks have won both games in the Garden this year in Boston. I think they win again tonight. And if they don't, I'm taking the 4.5. Golden State Warriors, Minnesota Timberwolves. I just look at that line and say it's just really tough. I know the Warriors are going to score, not necessarily. But the Timberwolves win. Yes, I do. They're favoring myself. Take 11.5. Stop the madness. The NBA in action. You know what? Time to talk baseball, and we'll do it next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey now, right back at it here. Best hour of your day. You know it's underway. We're having fun. A little NBA topics, NFL topics, Major League Baseball, and Pete Rose is the show. Rolls along, and this is our focal point now as we start to get into some Major League Baseball. And understand this, as I was talking before the show, or actually during the show to open it here, we're taking a look here at some different statistics that you can sort of bring into your Major League Baseball season as it continues. We had a very good month of April. It was a lot of fun. Struggling here the past 2 to 3 days, specifically with RBI props, case in point yesterday, the Boston Red Sox, who I did like as a team total, hit their number. But the Detroit Tigers and the Boston Red Sox scored 19 runs yesterday. I cashed in 1 out of my 4 RBI props in that game. Like, what are the chances that that happens? And you're not just taking a flyer on some bum hitter in the lineup. Good statistics. Everything reads through. 19 runs in the game. Worst case scenario, should have been 3 for 4, but you probably should have swept the board and you didn't there. It happens. It's understandable. I get that from time to time. Pete Crow Anderson came through yesterday, or Armstrong, excuse me, came through yesterday with a couple RBI props in that Chicago game. Wasn't good enough. It wasn't for the lack of the statistics weren't there and you're trying to struggle with some things. Sometimes it just doesn't work out in your favor. Now, when we take a look today and look at the pitching matchups, a lot of things do correlate, guys, right? You hear me use the terms, you know, the ERA numbers, which we don't really pay attention to, but just use it as a baseline to understand the value of some of the analytical numbers. The xFIP numbers that we like to use, the underlying value of the pitcher itself, and the exact definition of xFIP, expected fielder independent pitching, which means no fielders. We're worried about just what the pitcher does. And also, home runs are calculated as 10.5% of fly balls induced. So it doesn't matter how many times the baseball leaves the yard, we're just taking into the percentages here of what that might be for every fly ball, which makes sense. Which again, strikeouts, walk rates, all that stuff goes into it here. But now, as we start to get into, and pitchers have multiple starts under their belts. Like right now, what? 20, 30, 40, some guys close to 50 innings pitched on the season, which means they're getting home and away starts to give you a sort of look at how the Major League Baseball season is working for them. So XFIP minus comes into the equation and uses a lot of the same principles here that we take a look at XFIP. The only difference is the minus, it adjusts by league, where the average is 100 and lower is better. So again, if you have an XFIP number of 125, that's poor. If you have an XFIP minus number, of under 100, that's really good. So we're taking a look at the pitchers on the card today. Again, it's still a correlation. Very rare you're going to have a pitcher with a really low XFIP and a monster ERA, or really low XFIP and a crazy high XFIP minus. They're correlated. Same thing with those Sierra numbers, which is the skill independent, ERA, which includes fielding into the equation with pitching. I just want to take a look at the pitchers and how they perform. So Tarek Skubal, who we know is a fantastic pitcher in Major League Baseball. So case in point, his XFIP minus number is 56. Again, 100 is the baseline. He's at 56. And his ERA, 2.08. FIP number, 2.12. XFIP number, 2.34. Sierra, 2.32. See how we go right down that list and their correlated numbers? They're sort of in line, but this just gives that underlying value of the pitcher and where he's been pitching at in his league. Case in point, ballparks, all that stuff factor into that. So the best pitcher on the card is Tarek Skubal. But some guys they might not heard about with a lot of innings pitched themselves. How about number two on the card today out of 31 pitchers? Logan Henderson, Milwaukee. Probably never heard of that name. He's got a 57 XFIP minus, an ERA of 1.50, and an XFIP of 2.27. Now, granted, doesn't have a lot of the bats, but I'm just giving you the values that are coming in here. Middle-of-the-road pitchers on the card, like around 100. Nick Lodolo, Cincinnati Reds, 3.23 ERA, 100. Based on the XFIP minus. Bryce Elder of the Braves, 98 XFIP minus, but a 4.97 ERA number. That's why we don't like to pay attention all that much to ERA, because some of those numbers can be really inflated. Case in point again, Will Warren, the New York Yankees. He's got an 84 XFIP minus, which is really good. His ERA, guys, 4.75. We'll slide it down just a little bit. Take a look at Jordan Hicks of the San Francisco Giants. He's got an 89 XFIP minus number. Man, that's good. His XFIP number is 3.56. That's pretty good. His ERA, 5.82. Eduardo Rodriguez of Arizona, a 92 XFIP minus, which is above average for a pitcher. ERA, almost 7. See that? Getting a little bit unlucky at that point right now. That's what we're determining. Now, there are pitchers here, let's just say. At 100 or higher, we got 15 pitchers that are average to above average on the card today with XFIP numbers that we want to focus on and try to fade. Those pitchers, we'll start going over that card next, right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Lunch hour is just upon us here, and also Major League Baseball starts today for one doubleheaders at 12:05 Eastern. Now, the Philadelphia Phillies, I told you, are supposed to get a doubleheader in today at 1:05. Still raining. Maybe 30 minutes from the ballpark from my house, but it's constant raining from yesterday all the way through to today. It'll be interesting to see if that game starts on time, but you know they'll probably shoehorn those games in, which can be good and can be bad at times, which means umpires understand the task at hand where everything is a strike. And again, you have to think out the process of what you want to do, because we're going to talk about pitchers that we like to fade, and one of those guys in just a few moments is Eric Fetty. But if underlying circumstances matter where they just want to get this game in and everything close to the plate is a strike, that doesn't bode well there for scoring runs. Now, understand this. We'll get to that game in a second. Let's take a look at the pitchers, as I teased before the break, of in the fade category. 100 of an XFIP minus, again, is that baseline. You're average in the pitching markets here, which means you probably have a decent ERA, a decent XFIP number, and it usually goes south from there. But I told you, some of those guys in the upper echelon have ERAs of close to 7. Like Eduardo Rodriguez, which means, again, the underlying value, they're just getting unlucky at this point. The guy right at the even breaking point today, Cincinnati Reds' Nick Lodolo, at a 100 XFIP minus number and a 4.04. So that's where the fades start. I'm not saying I'm fading Nick Lodolo and the Cincinnati Reds today. I'm just telling you guys, that's where it starts up. Anything below, I usually stay away from. Even guys like Eduardo Rodriguez with close to a 7 ERA. Oh, you got to buck the trend, though. No. Stick with the numbers long term. It'll make the most sense for you here. That's what it is. Go Fast Troy, DRS and MLB. What could be better? Nothing could be better. King D's sports betting. Braves, Nats, first five under 4.5. So let's get after it today. That's some of the things that the people in the chat box like. If you want to chime in the chat box, you can do it. Go to YouTube. Right in there. Sports Grid, one word, on demand. So it's a total of three. Sports Grid is one. Second word, on. Third word, on demand. Get into the chat box. You'll see we're live right here. You can watch the programs here on the radio anytime you want right on this channel right here, Sports Grid on Demand. Come in and say hello. Now, again, Nick Lodolo's there. Bailey Ober at a 103. He's going to be starting the first game of that doubleheader at 1 o'clock with him and Dean Kramer. After that, Michael Lorenzen, Ryan Pepiot, Davis Martin. Now we're getting into the 110s or higher, starting with Davis Martin. Bailey Falter of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Dean Kramer of the Baltimore Orioles. Antonio Senzatella of the Colorado Rockies. Patrick Corbin comes in with a 3.13 ERA, but a 117 xFIP minus number, letting you know that he's due to get put away pretty soon. Luis Castillo, an under 4 ERA, but a 117 xFIP minus number for Seattle. Eric Fetty, as we talked about, going to start that game for game number one of the doubleheader in Philadelphia. He's always on our card, isn't he, guys? A 124 xFIP minus and a 5.02 xFIP number. ERA is manageable, but we're just waiting for that day where he gets pounded, and could be that day today. Kyle Hendricks of the Angels, a 131 xFIP minus, which again, 31% higher than the median. A 530 ERA checks out fine. Mitchell Parker, here's an interesting one. 31 guys on the card today that we have at least five innings pitched this season. Mitchell Parker has got a 134 xFIP minus. He's got an ERA of 3.97, which isn't terrible, and a high xFIP of 5.44. Where does that measure in? The worst pitcher on the card, which I think I faded every time with mixed results, it's Randy Vasquez of the San Diego Padres. A 152 xFIP minus number. He has a manageable ERA of 3.76, but look at his xFIP, 6.21. Now, the fun part about that is Los Angeles Angels, San Diego Padres, they play tonight at 9:40 p.m. Eastern on the West Coast. That line sits at 8.5, so I'm creeping up to 9. Get yourself in on that 8.5, which we'll get to in a little bit. But those are the pitchers that we're fading now. Let's go over to the batters so we can get that sort of clean eye. Now, we have some, let me see here. Let's hit the roster source update here so we can get some of those live batting orders, which are out here. We'll go 30 days on the batting order. We'll take a look at the 30-day pitchers, and we'll take a look at the current season pitchers here. So I already wrote down, guys, 1, 2, 3, 4 team totals that I like. Technically 5, but that final one does include basically an over on the game. So the determination is, how do we actually play this out right now? Rye Cape says, we're live in the chat box, coming over from SiriusXM. See that? Rye's out here. It's easy to hear. My man X-Man's out here. Shout out Virginia Beach, as always. Celtics Knicks must watch TV tonight. I wanted to curse right there. I think I'm allowed to curse, though, on just not on this network, but we can curse on SiriusXM. But we'll keep it professional. Sometimes I get excited. Might just let one loose at times. Apologies if I ever do, but that's how excited I get. Shout out to all the boys in the chat box today. But hear me out on this. 12:05 p.m., Minnesota and Baltimore. Bailey Ober, which I told you, slightly over his xFIP minus number. Taking on Dean Kramer, also slightly over his xFIP number here. Kramer is a 113, a little bit higher than Ober, who is a 103. But if we're looking at those 30-day statistics, here's the interesting part too, because again, we're trying to lead you into a point where you can make those educated decisions for yourself, I should say. The xFIP minus number that I started off the show talking about and explaining what it actually meant makes a lot more sense now because you have multiple starts in different ballparks, you know, in your league. So that can be factored in and help you. Also now, the batting statistics, right? Hear me out on this, guys. Why do you like to take a batter? Because why? They're doing damage at the plate against a certain lefty or righty pitcher. At the same time, what happens if your batter started out absolutely red hot first 2 weeks of the season and was hitting 500? But his numbers still look good because he was buoyed by the first 2 weeks. But over the past several weeks, he hasn't been all that good. That's the statistics that you want. Same thing with the pitchers. Like, once we get to over 60 days in the Major League Baseball, now you're taking a look at, let's just say, 8 or 9 weeks. We say, how's this pitcher doing? Because I don't care in the month of July, guys, if my pitcher in 54-degree temperatures and cold winds blowing in, shut out the Detroit Tigers. That doesn't matter. What have you done for me lately? So the statistics now with batters, instead of looking at the season stats, which would have started in late March, you can now go to just the 30-day stats, which again takes it from today on the 14th back to April 14th past month. I don't care what that batter did the first 2 weeks. I don't care that he couldn't get a base hit because it was freezing temperatures and he was just coming out of spring training in Florida. You know what I care about? What did he do the past couple weeks? What did he do in his last 50 at-bats as opposed to his last 100 at-bats, which would take you back to March? See where I'm going here on this? Hot batters, hot pitchers. That's how you get that underlying factor, because as well as I do, you guys have been out there. Maybe your golf game's playing real well right now. You know what, man? Just went out and had fantastic last 4 rounds. And you go, well, I was terrible to start the season in March when it was really cold out, but now we're in May. I'm all loosened up and have a lot of rounds under my belt. Same thing in sports, people. A three-point shooter that knocks down 7 triples the previous game. Do you give a damn that 5 games ago he went 0-for-7? No, he just went 7-for-10. Ride out that hot streak, baby. That's the way it goes. That's the way it does it. So again, looking at the Baltimore-Minnesota game, last 30 days here for Bailey Ober, very good statistics, ISO power number percentage, and weighted on base percentage of lefties, a little bit leaky against righties. But you want this to match up. Only guy I would even look at as an RBI prop in the game is Ramon Laureano. Yeah, Ramon Laureano. High ISO, weighted on base percentage, high as well. Not in love with that. Take a look at Dean Kramer on the other side. For the season, really struggling against lefties, but cleaning that up over the past month. So he's getting better against lefties. You look at the lineup today. Buxton, Larnach, France, Lee, Correa, Castro. These guys over the last 30 days haven't done anything outside of Trevor Larnach against right-handed pitching. Buxton has done very well, so I take that back, and Brooks Lee decent. Ty France, Correa, Castro, Lewis, Bader, Vasquez, all terrible at that point. It's not much action in that 12:05 game. But now we'll get to next. And we're coming up against a commercial break. Right out of the gate, we're going to talk that Philadelphia-Philly-St. Louis Cardinals matchup at 1:05 p.m. with Eric Fetty on the mound against Jesus Luzardo, a heavy favorite to the Phillies against maybe the hottest team in Major League Baseball. Let's talk about the angles to play in that game, or should we be scared off by some of the weather concerns? It's your boy Donnie Wrightside of Solo Mission. Be right back. Baseball!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah! Born right, people, Major League Baseball. Let's get right to it here. Eric Fetty versus the Philadelphia Phillies. Looking at Fetty's underlying value, not very good. A 124 xFIP minus, a 5.02 xFIP number, manageable ERA at 3.86. Let's take a look at Fetty's season as it's underway, right? Doesn't strike a lot of batters out. Last 30 days, 17%. On the season, only 15%. Equal to lefties and righties here. Here's the difference. He's done sensationally well. ISO power number weighted on base percentage against lefty batters. 071 on the season, 266 weighted on base percentage for the full season. For the last 30 days, he's actually improved that to an 034 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 263. Now, looking at the Philadelphia Phillies lineup, here's where your advantages are going to come in. I just told you Fetty is not a great strikeout pitcher. Usually you think about the Philadelphia Phillies as a strikeout lineup. That's not the case against right-handed pitching. Stott, Turner, Harper, Schwarber, Castellanos, Kepler, and Bohm, along with Rafael Marchand, who's going to be in the lineup today to start game number one, as opposed to JT Realmuto. All low numbers. Brandon Marsh, the only high K guy, around 30%. So the ball should be in play. Weighted on base percentages that are at least a 310 or above against righties so far, the last 30 days. Stott, Turner, Harper, Schwarber, Kepler, and Bohm. And then Marsh actually has a 312. Low man on the totem pole, Nick Castellanos in the middle of that lineup. decent walk rates as well for the Philadelphia Phillies. But here again, rain is in the forecast. This game's coming up soon, and I'm going to go to the Phillies site right now because I just want to check them out on social media to see if we have any updates. Because the reason is, again, this does factor in because it is a doubleheader. And understand this, Major League Baseball clubs do not want to hang around extra time in a city if they don't need to, which means do the pitchers get sort of extra benefits of strike calls here? Now, obviously, the starting lineup is out, but it doesn't say anything that the game will be delayed. That's something to keep an eye on. But usually for myself, like I have the Phillies team total as a circled number today. I'm going to make that determination after the show. So we have a little bit of time. It's 1:05. Show gets over at 12 o'clock Eastern to say, all right, is this game going to start on time? Then I feel a little bit better. What's the rain prognosis throughout the afternoon? Because if I'm just looking at my weather widget for where I live, it looks like starting around 1 o'clock, it does clear up a bit. And then we should be good the rest of the day. That's huge information right there. Because that wasn't the case earlier this morning as I was looking at. So rain should be ending shortly with still a chance of rain throughout the evening, but not that much. So the Phillies might be a turn on here as a team total. Let me just get a look at some of the price points here. And I start with, let's see, we'll go bet 365. So go Major League Baseball, Phillies game number one, Fetty on the mound, team props. The Phillies are a 4.5 at a -130. So 5 runs takes the job or takes enough to get it done. I do think that might be worthwhile. And as you know, if it's out there, we'll tweet it after the show. But it's interesting. Rye Cape says it's raining at CBP right now. Yeah, it probably is because it's raining by me as well. It looks like around 1 o'clock that's going to clear up. So maybe the tarp stays on just a little bit longer and maybe a slight delay. But it looks like there's a legitimate chance that we actually can get both of those games in. Chat box out here. John Corbs in the Celtics. 30-1 to win the chip. Jaylen Brown is going to step up. I don't know about that. Nuggets 30-1, been in every game. Yeah, the Nuggets are an interesting one. Rye Cape says Brandon Lowe, home run. Brandon Lau, wherever you want to say it. Don't matter to me. Let's cash in some tickets. Abby, the best, is the best. Celtics win tonight because I put a ticket in for the Knicks money line. Thank me later. Hey, man, using the reverse psychology, never hurt anybody. Rye Cape says I'm on the Celtics too. Hate being on the opposite side of DRS. That is what it is in the NBA, man. Boy, round two has been absolutely crazy. Aaron Schoen jumped in late, so starting from the beginning. There you go. You can always watch it back. That's why we love when you get it on Sports Grid On Demand right here. Type it in. Sports Grid On Demand on YouTube. Get in the chat box. And say, get in here, say hello. Jordan's over here as well. Of course, he's on the Diamondbacks money line. What else could he be on at this point, right? But today, the Phillies, a viable option for that team total. Let's keep it moving here because I'm not fading Jesus Luzardo of the Phillies. He's got too good of numbers here. All right. Next game up, 1 o'clock start, Milwaukee and Cleveland. Logan Henderson taking on Gavin Williams. If we look at Logan Henderson, even though he does have limited starts this year, 21 batters face, which means one start, basically. He's got good numbers. You got to remove him off the card, guys. It's too easy. Like, he's got a 150 ERA, a 177 Sierra number, a crazy low xFIP minus. It's tempting to do, and it might hit because there's 73-degree temperatures in Cleveland today. I have to lay off that one. Milwaukee on the other side going up against Gavin Williams. He's about midway on the card, a 94 xFIP minus and a 3.85 xFIP number. Last 30 days, he's gotten taken to task a little bit with right-handed batters. However, outside of Rhys Hoskins, not a lot of love in that lineup for me, so we pass on that one. Minnesota and Baltimore, game number two today. Simeon Woods-Richardson, a guy who I do like to fade, had a really good start last time out. 118 xFIP minus, a 480 xFIP number. But if we're taking a look and saying, what has he been doing the past 30 days? Struggling against right-handed batters. Even more so on the season itself. So 77 batters on the season, a 217 ISO. Focus on the last 30 days with Woods-Richardson. That goes up to a 278. So your focus then saying, right, on right-handed batters. Again, outside of Ramon Laureano, like Mountcastle, average. You know the let goes. Holiday, Henderson, Rutschman, Kierstad, Mullins, all left-handed batters. I'm not saying remove them from the equation, but Simeon Woods-Richardson has been better against those guys as of late. The only legitimate chance would be Laureano. Now, today, I'm going to tell you right now, my focus really isn't on the RBI market. It's not. Cade Povich on the opposite side is a lefty. He comes in on the card today. Where's my guy Cade ranked? He's not too far down. He's not too far up, right? Where are you at, Cade? Cade Povich. Oh, he's not, you know what? I'm going to have to refresh this in a little bit. But Cade Povich, a lefty, doing well against lefties theoretically, getting shelled against right-handed batters. Now, you take a look at game number two, which we don't know the starting lineups. Buxton and Correa, if you're looking at RBI, along with Harrison Bader, that's where I would go. But we don't know who the starting lineup is going to be, so we can't really make an adjustment there. Eduardo Rodriguez and Jordan Hicks, told you earlier today, some high ERA numbers, but some really good, or manageable, I should say, XFIP minus numbers. Hicks has good numbers against lefties and righties. Won't really be any fades, even though that lineup looks great for the Arizona Diamondbacks against right-handed pitching. You take a look at the mound. Eduardo Rodriguez is a lefty, struggling with lefty and righty batters. Elliot Ramos having a great season so far. Mac Chapman over the past 30 days has elevated himself. We'll get into it more. One more segment to go. It's Moneyline, people.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, you guys know there's a movie coming out here that's called Madden. Yes, it's about John Madden. Can you guess the stars? Nicolas Cage is going to be John Madden, which I see the picture of him. And Christian Bale is Al Davis. It says production began in April of 2025 with first look images released on May 13th, which was yesterday. And the film is in progress right now, produced by Amazon MGM. So how about that? Christian Bale as Al Davis. What the story they could be told in that. A couple pretty good actors in there, see how it turns out, but just interesting to see there at that point. Again, scheduled release day coming soon. In totality, by the end of the night for the NFL, let's keep it moving here, Major League Baseball. Will Warren's on the mound today for the New York Yankees, taking on the Seattle Mariners. If we look for Will Warren, where is he at? Where are you at, Will? I think Will had some better numbers than I thought he did. I could be wrong here. Now, why don't I see him in here? Let's go. New York Yankees, where are you at? NYY. Oh, there he is. He's top seven today, Will Warren, at 84 XFIP minus and a 3.43 XFIP number. Pretty impressive, Will. So we're not going to go against any team or any players there. Luis Castillo on the opposite side. He's actually a little bit lower on the card, which is interesting to me. He's got a 117 XFIP minus and an XFIP of 4.74. Could some of those Yankees be in play today in one of the true pitcher ballparks in Major League Baseball? I didn't have them circled. I didn't. Game number two for the Phillies. That's going to be Aaron Nola taking on Sonny Gray. Not in love with that game. Boston and Detroit. Let's see here. A little bit later on, that is going to be Hunter Dobbins versus Tarek Skubal. Yeah, you get the point. We're not making any changes on that game or doing anything there. Here's an interesting one that's coming up right now, though. Ryan Pepiot on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays today. Last 30 days, right-handed batters, 53 of them getting the best of him at the plate. 97 batters on the season from the right-hand side, getting the best of them. Struggling with power numbers to lefties to the tune of a 288 over his last 61 batters. You take a look at the lineup today anticipated for the Toronto Blue Jays. Bichette, Guerrero, Springer, Varsho, Kirk, Barger, and Lukes. That's 7-plus batters with weighted on base percentages with low K rates. They're circled. So the Phillies team total, I have circled for 105. The Toronto Blue Jays team total, I have circled up here for a little bit later on today. There you go. That's two of them. Let's keep going before we end the show out here. Pittsburgh and New York. Bailey Falter is on the mound today. And if you look at Bailey Falter, he's got a 112 XFIP minus and a 4.55 XFIP number. Rain is in the forecast, not great conditions, but hear me out on this. Bailey Falter does have some pretty good statistics to lefty and righty batters. So this one's more of a question mark to say, what are you trusting, the lineup, or are you going to trust the pitcher here? Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, Marte, Acuna, and Taylor. 7-plus batters with low K rates and high weighted on base percentages going up against Falter. I have the Mets circled for right now. That could change because it's going a little bit against what I want to do. Usually it's a really high XFIP number or XFIP minus number, and also the ability for that batter to hammer that left-handed pitcher. The Mets have done very well against lefties, but Falter does show some pretty good statistics non-analytically against the lefty and righty batter combinations this season. Chicago White Sox and the Cincinnati Reds. Davis Martin is on the mound today going up against Nick Lodolo. I don't really think I put anything on this game. Did I? No, I didn't. I didn't have any circles. Davis Martin's a bad pitcher, though, to be honest. He's not great. A 110 xFIP minus number and a 4.45. Just not enough in that lineup here for the Cincinnati Reds for me to push the button. Mitchell Parker today has got a sky high xFIP minus number of 134. I don't love the batters today for the Atlanta Braves, but I understand if you are going out and just betting the Braves today because Parker's high xFIP numbers, can't fault you on that. Washington going up against Bryce Elder, and Bryce Elder coming in here. Where's Bryce? Let's see if we can find him. That is the up and down we go. There we go. 15th on the card at a 31. A 98 xFIP minus, a 3.94 xFIP number. Nothing in that game already. Miami and Chicago. Hello, Cubs. Now, here we go. Ryan Weathers has no statistics this year. He's a minor league pitcher. Actually did fairly well last year, but he's been a known tomato can. You look in the lineup tonight here for the Chicago Cubs. Swanson, Tucker, Suzuki, Kelly, Horner, PCA. That's six batters there with sky-high ISOs and weighted on-base percentages. I did circle them as a possible play. And maybe the best overall play of the night, Angels, Padres, late night tonight, people. Two of the three worst pitchers matching up today based on xFIP. Over 8.5 for San Diego and LA makes a lot of sense with the focus being on the San Diego Padres at the plate. There you go. Wednesday hump day. The cards cap. Let's let the action go. Chat box was awesome. Boy down the right side, JP Brown.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.